Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network and Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Spaghetti and meatballs fiddling with the knobs. More with spaghetti in a second. It's not always fiddling with that. We have Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess and joining me, as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. I'm over the moon, guys. I'm over the moon. I regained some of my voice. Cowboys win in New York. I've never seen it. Never seen it, check. Five times, 0-for-5 on that game live, including when the stadium opened up, AT&T, Giants win on a walk-off field goal. I saw it last night, 23-16. I was right. Martin was wrong. Sheck was wrong. Spaghetti was wrong. And as a result, he has to wear a tuna on his head. Now, truth be told, he's already done this on Against All Odds. He's a mensch. He's going to do it. He's a good sport. He's going to do it for another hour now. Not a great sport on text last night, Sheck. You could have.
No, indeed. No, indeed. He was raw, as you would expect. He's a passionate fan. And from a distance, as I always say, as long as I'm not involved in the heat, I can laugh it off. And I was able to laugh this one off. You're right. I was wrong. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I made a last-minute change. I flipped over. I realized it was Cooper Rush going against a nice defensive front for the Giants. I said 23-17. Jints, obviously, it was pretty close to an exact reverse of that.
I picked 20 to 16 Cowboys. I got the 16 right for the Giants. But, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Martin.
I got the over, but got the team wrong. But yes, I can. You sound like Chris Collinsworth is the bottom line here today.
Right.
You were obviously you and your pal Guillermo, the parking lot security guard from Jimmy Kimmel Live, were probably having a gay old time together there.
It was fun. You know what, Check? I'll take Collinsworth's money.
Oh, you can say that again.
People do that. All right, Martin, go ahead. We'll get to spaghetti in a second. But you went out there. Everybody loved the Giants yesterday.
You know what? You're right, Sal. I was wrong. And in the spirit of Dave, I'll go ahead and admit that I was wrong. And it was one of the three games that I got wrong this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you again. And from now on, please introduce me as your dear, dear friend, the leader of the pack.
You are the leader of the pack. We're going to get to those numbers in a second. Martin, 11-3-1.
11-3-1.
Thursday. Yep. You're 31-13-1 overall.
Just in case anybody,
by far. Yeah.
Just in case anybody would like another winner, go ahead and get Cincinnati 2.5 if you still can right now for Thursday night. They're going to beat the
really already? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Betting against the mighty Dolphins. All right. We'll get to that in a second. All right. Let's get this tuna on Spaghetti's head before we forget about it. We can do a whole hour and forget. There you go. Spaghetti, hour number two. Ugh. With the tuna. The idea was picked from the Cap of Consequences. Big tuna in honor of the big tuna, Bill Parcells, who coached both the Giants. Oh, you're making faces now, Spaghetti. You don't like the smell time around.
No, it's like dripping through my desk, and then I just realized that I have to do work after the show, and I need to type during Extra Points recording, and my finger's now full of like tuna juice.
All right. I mean, so you should have maybe thought about this before you got so mouthy with us, right? That you had work to do.
I hate that I'm being portrayed as this. Like, first of all, the initial, I went back and looked. Parlay Kid started with the complaining about the refs and this. I don't ever initiate. I never take personal attacks. I talk strictly about the game. And you send so much snark and all these, like, one-liners, like, get under the skin of whoever. Because I could be fair. I could be fair about, you know, whether it's baseball
you
or the Mets. Yes, and like you despise the Yankees, and you despise like any New York teams. Which and also it's still weird to me that you root for the Cowboys being from New York. But
that's okay. That's I don't need to explain myself.
But I don't.
Well, that is weird. Spaghetti's right about that. Spaghetti is wrong about how he portrays himself, but he is right about how he portrays you. You're a weirdo, you're Sal, that. And we can't forget 40 years, whatever, after you made this weird decision as a Long Island kid. that you front ran over to the Dallas Cowboys because you like the star on the side of their
head. It would be
history
weird for me.
Has not smiled on you.
It would be, yeah, that's for sure. But it would be weird for me to switch. That would be weird if I switched now and was a Giant fan, right?
Talking about weird.
Yeah. That would be the weird. That would be weird. This is like Spaghetti, because Spaghetti did say, I don't even care if we lose to the Bears next week. I have to have this game. I'm the same way with this. The Giants Cowboys is a number one for me, and especially when I'm there. It's disgusting feeling if I lose. But Spaghetti, and to be fair, Sheck, ours was one of three chains I was on with Spaghetti talking smack. What did you say here? I'm sick of these drives stalling. Okay, that's fair. Then the referees, like I said, you would have thought the Giants should have been up like 37-3 at half, the way Spaghetti is saying the referees blew it. Wink will blitz the S out of Cooper freaking Rush next half. Man, I can't wait to win this game. I'll be a pain in the ass to deal with tomorrow. Go a lot of this stuff. Come on, Spaghetti.
I was right about the Wing Martindale prediction, but it did cost the Giants because he was doing a lot of corner blitzes and it backfired. Yeah. It was by far his worst game calling defensive plays out of the three. The second half was brutal. I mean, those drives by Cooper Rush, I mean, hats off to him. The Zeke run, the touchdown, 10 guys in the field. Like, it was just a bad coaching job. And Cooper Rush is better than I thought. I said that before. And
stop it. No. No, he's not.
No, Martin, you got to admit that.
No.
Martin?
He's definitely good. And, I'm mad we lost this game. I want to beat the Cowboys so damn badly. But that being said, like, if you told me the Giants could be 3-1 after this Bears game and going into London, I'd say that any day of the week. And I don't think the Cowboys are going to be great. I think you guys could have lost this game still because Daniel Jones had the ball in his hands. It wasn't for the faulty MetLife turf that should have been replaced.
Oh, come on. Yeah, look at
this. It's the truth about that. I mean, the same play. Sills slipped and Sterling Shepard had a non-contact injury in the same play. And there was talks about this last year, too. But anyway, like, they had the ball.
That's on you. Like you would tell me, that's on you. Fix your turf.
I agree with you on that. And they had the ball with the chance to either tie or go for the win. And when you had 24 quarterback pressures, I wouldn't feel great about that, not winning the game by a larger margin. But that's just me.
All right, I tried to warn you about the press. I didn't think we'd have 24 for sure, 24 pressures, but that was phenomenal. I mean, it was coming from your right tackle was lousy. But Martin, let's go the other side of the ball. At least admit Cooper Rush is better than you thought. Cooper Rush played as well as 25 quarterbacks I saw this weekend.
Cooper Rush is a backup quarterback. We did this last year around the same time with Mike White.
That's fine.
I don't want to hear it. It's going to – when the glass slipper falls off and everybody's like, oh, what happened to Cooper Rush? No. The same thing happened to Cooper Rush has happened his whole NFL career. He's not a starting quarterback in the league. Otherwise, he would have been one by now. He got waived by the team that he beat yesterday in the Giants. Like, he's not
That happens.
Like, yeah, I mean, sure, he delivered some – he threw some good passes. He was on time and he was on target. But ultimately, the Giants – to me, I feel the Giants lost that game by not being able to punch – like, not being able to move the ball and not being able to protect Daniel Jones.
Yeah, because they're going against the best defense we've ever seen.
If you don't move the ball, you're not going to score. That's true.
Shaq, he's one of the top 10.
Yeah, but I'm not 10, saying that Cooper Rush was up –
yeah,
this is how Jimmy G ends up getting all this pub and all this, and then he steps out of bounds and his safety saves a pick six, and everybody has to backtrack and be like, how is Jimmy G doing something like that? Because he's not good either. I'm sorry.
Nobody's good
this weekend.
Listen, we could go over MVP rankings and check. You covered it on -3. Why the defense is better or something? It's weird though, because if you go through Caesar's odds, still the top 14 choices are quarterbacks for MVP. Top 14. Justin Jefferson is 15. And by my account, he only had one good game too, really. Like one outstanding. I think Lamar Jackson is the only one who could say he's had two very good or great games in the league offensively. Am I wrong? I don't know.
Well,
Josh
two,
Allen?
What two? Tua could say that, I think, as well. But yes, I mean, among the name brand guys going into the season, you would have said that about. Regarding Cooper Rush, first of all, I wouldn't mind having his money. But also, he's going to make even more money as long as Marty mentions, the Cinderella slipper when it comes off. Mm-hmm. They got to get him out of there sooner rather than later. Jerry Jones can gin up a controversy if he wants to.
Oh, it's I'm not saying that.
I'm saying, but like Scott Mitchell or Matt Flynn or otherwise, the trick is he's got to get out there before he gets too much video on tape so that he can get a big time deal for 2023, which some dumb team will give him.
Sure.
Spaghetti, please center, please center yourself better. I'm not seeing the tuna. Is it there?
There it is.
Yes, sir. I'm right there.
What did you do? Did you pound it down like a, like a cup?
I think it's like really, it's
almost flesh colored. And in the back of his head, it makes it look like he's doing a Damashek impression with the flesh yarmulke.
Is that what you're doing? There. All right. Okay. Yeah, we see it.
Yeah, it's becoming like this. It's flattening. It's I don't want to, you know, make fun of the fine people at the Ralph's Marina Del Rey, but this may not be actual tuna.
You know what? Really? It's your problem. Fix your tuna.
Fix your tuna. That's on you. Jones pressured 74 times. I'll give it to Daniel Jones. He kept them in the game. It wasn't Barkley, aside from the touchdown. Barkley averaged about 3 yards a carry. They weren't moving the ball with him. He had 79 yards rushing. Jones, I guess that's a product of being pressured 24 times. But I'll say this.
Wants to ever go play a game in New York between the MetLife Turf and Jacob Trouba, all that can happen to you as a visitor is injury. We should stop maybe we have to carve out New York. By the
Spaghetti, you want to handle that? Yeah, and not to mention the Judge home run ball, which is going to be a felony committed, trying to jump all over that
thing. By the way, if I can jump in very quickly, Eddie Spaghetti, I asked him on -3, which would he rather see? I don't know if you're surprised by this answer, fellas. I said, would you rather have Aaron Judge break the single season home run record?
I heard this.
Or have the Cowboys lose to the Giants in week 3? And he said, no question he would want the Giants to beat the Cowboys. I was a little surprised by that. In a big time in New York City sports, we have Nick Costos and John Yastrzemski hooking up on Mr. Lister tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. Maybe even Judge will hit the home run while we're live on the air. Get on Spotify.
Check, that might be the first podcast or audio production that you were involved with where you speak like 8% of the time. You might speak less than 10% of the time with Costos and
three magical voices. That's for sure. Combined, I love it. On that one coming up tonight.
I love it. But all right, Spaghetti, you want to answer that? To me, is this your biggest rivalry or is it Penn's Rangers?
In football, I mean, I hate the Cowboys. I hate the Eagles a lot. I hate USC a lot for football. So those are, you know, throw the Penguins in there. That's probably a good portion of my top five. As for the Judge home run thing, I don't know why I'd ever care about a singular person's stats. Like, I don't care about individual stats at all. I'm a team guy. I root for the laundry. I root for the logo. I don't care about
there you go.
Hitting home run. I want like, you like that. Giants don't beat. They haven't beat Dallas in the last 10 years.
It's a lot of primetime games now.
And then
it's
every primetime game they lose. Daniel Jones only has one victory outside of the 1 o'clock. Like, I just needed that game to win. It's inexcusable to lose to a backup quarterback. Again, he did play very well, but that was a game they should have won. Everything that could have went wrong did go wrong. With Giants, and that's why it's frustrating.
Speaking of laundry, you have tuna juice on your shoulder. I could see it dripping down your neck a little bit. All right.
Before we move on, I don't want to sign off on this idea that that's a game the Giants should have won. CeeDee Lamb dropped.
Yes.
Was maybe a
touchdown. Did he just say that?
First half.
Did he just try to sneak that in?
Who was it? Oh, Noah Brown got tackled in the end zone by half of the Giants defenders. Mm. I do think there were some bum calls against the Giants.
Sure.
But I also think they kind of – I know, you know, fans – can it skews in their mind, but objectively, I feel like it kind of was even in terms of lousy calls officials.
I did too. Spaghetti will argue that it isn't, but I mean, really, it comes down to that pass interference. That if you watch, it was pass interference on the pickoff there. So I know that's the big one you're going to hang on to. We could have scored 30 points. We really could have. If he does, I know there's a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda, but if Lamb doesn't drop that ball, we're closer to 30 than 23. But, Martin, this is the one game you can't brag about. I'm sorry. You had 13 wins.
This one, I should have seen it coming. I was looking at everything. The Giants haven't started out 3-0 since I was a senior in high school. I mean, Daniel Jones hasn't won in the primetime window in his NFL career. Back-to-back Monday nights, I bet on Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones.
Rough games.
And I'm 31-13 on the season. This doesn't make any sense at all.
Stay away from the night
Denver Broncos are in first place. Who gives a crap? It's early. It's early, everybody.
That's what you said week one. Just keep on going. By the time week 15, 16, 17 gets around.
I'm impressed with what Martin's doing. You know, Harry and Sheck were battling last year, and Harry ended up edging you out. I think it was 37 over 500. Martin is on pace to shatter that. That's going to be I'm rooting for you, Martin. I really am. I will say one thing that got me crazy was Ferguson going out of bounds with 1:52 left or whatever. It drove me nuts. I didn't even mind the play call, that 3rd and 7 when Rush play action then rolls right, and then you hit the tight end, and then you have to know right away, if you're not making that first down, take an A inbounds. You have to do it. I was like, wow, Mike McCarthy is going to have to make a decision here. And then we all know how that ends if that's the case. So good job by the Cowboys. But, you know, here's the thing. The Bears or the Giants, one of them is going to be 3-1. Who the hell would have thought that?
It's probably going to be the Giants. Just even like, so? the Bears, at least the Giants, you know, won their games with some semblance the Bears. I should say it backwards. The Bears have been the luckiest team. Like, if Jimmy G didn't self-sabotage and it wasn't a monsoon, that team is by far 0-3, and it's not even close.
You know what? Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to look at the division leaders you think has the best shot of holding on. And there are some weird names in there. For sure. Let's take a quick break right now. All right, listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars, because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars empire. And you know what it is that sets Caesars Sportsbook and Casino apart from the others? It's the perks. It's the only sports betting app with Caesars rewards. So every time you place a bet, win or lose, you get reward credits, which could use towards game tickets, bonuses, experience, free stays at iconic Caesars destinations, and more. And your very first bet? Check this out, Harry. It's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, and Caesars Sportsbook and Casino plays by the rules. They comply with all the legalities of the sports betting world. So here comes the lengthy, unabridged national responsible gaming disclaimer. Yes, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700, Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF, Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP, Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117, New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY, that's 467-369. Visit CONNEXontario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back. We were talking about some of these unlikely teams at the top of the standings here. I'm going to ask you guys, which of these five division leaders, now some of these are tied for the division lead, but for the sake of this argument, which of these leaders do you think has the best shot of holding on? The Dolphins, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Bears. Are they all 2-0? The Dolphins are 3-0. Everyone else is 2-0, 2-1. Is that what it is? I think that's what it is. All right, Martin.
That sounds right.
What do you think, Martin? It seems obvious to me, this answer, but go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like the obvious answer is the Jaguars, but I'm honestly kind of interested in the Dolphins. Just in the idea that I understand that everybody's had the Bills as the number one team in the history of the NFL, you know, as the start of this season. But with their injuries in the secondary, that's really concerning because they don't – I mean, they sub a lot of defensive linemen in and out, and that's what the hell allows them to play the shell coverages that they do up top without sending people. If they don't have those guys back there, that's concerning. Offensive line, you saw a lot of the injury – like the injury to Morse. Josh Allen had three or four bad snaps. That's concerning. And then also, too, the way that – like, Miami's defense was on the field for 90 plays, and Buffalo didn't score, like, a billion points. Like I
thought the coordinator should have gone a little nuts. That would have driven me crazy. He should have shown some emotion.
But it's like that, too. You're losing your brain because it's like this is the last close game you've had in a long, long time. They remind me of the Warriors in that they win every game by 15, so you don't know if they can win close games or not. So, and you saw them lose a close game.
Well, all right, I'm going to take your argument and actually use it all, try to use it against you. 90-39, the Dolphins were very lucky to win that game. The Bills had secondary issues. The Dolphins really didn't for the most. I mean, what did Tyreek Hill do that game? They really didn't capitalize. I think the Bills smoke them when they play it back in Buffalo. And I said on this podcast, if you were going to bet the Dolphins to win the division, do it before last week, because if they win this game, the odds are going to shrink. If they lose, they probably don't have a chance if Allen stays healthy. Now I'm going the other way. I think the Bills at minus 220 to win the division is the way to go. The Dolphins would not be my answer. Sheck, what's your answer out of those five?
Well, first of all, where the Bills are concerned, it's funny you say that either the Bears or Gents are going to be 3-1. The Ravens or the Bills are going to be 500 after week four, which is fascinating and also points to how early we are in the season. Still,
you know, it points to first place schedules, and they mean something because you get every week you get smacked versus the other way.
And speaking of first place, the Patriots have perennially been there in the 21st century. And I think they warped the way we regard pro football teams in the sense that, like, unless it was Brady, it didn't make a difference who was in and out of the lineup. They always would win. And you'd be like, well, they can't win without Gronk. Well, they win the Super Bowl without him, and so on. But for the most part, NFL rosters that are comprised of human beings, when high-end players go out, the guy who replaces them in the same jersey is likely to not perform at that same level. Mm-hmm. Poyer's absence is significant. White's absence is significant to the Bills. And, you know, Trey White's going to come back, and I think he'll be fine for January. But in the short term, you know, the idea that the Dolphins are a mirage, I don't buy that. I think some things are mirages. I think the Dolphins keep this going. But my correct – Even though I crack wise about it 5 minutes ago, you know who's got a real shot? The Denver Broncos.
Oh, my God.
They are doing nothing on offense. They are an abject disaster with Russ under center or in the shotgun, whatever. And yet there they are at 2-1, go through their schedule. And, you know, the big one is obviously against
go through their schedule. It's all AFC Chiefs. West. Yeah. Yeah.
The Chargers lost five Pro Bowlers on Sunday. I understand that your AFC West darling is dead. It hurts
me,
too.
You can't take the Chiefs.
Right.
I thought it was the Chargers year. Justin Herbert's ribs, that was just a harbinger of more to come. Slater out, Bosa out. Don't do this though. Don't try to replace your darling with this is a 2 a.m. move, Dave. This is not something you thought about prior. You've had too many. Sit down.
I went through the schedule.
But the thing is, there's no guaranteed win on their schedule because they were losing to the Texans 9-6. They had 5 points against the 49ers middle of the fourth quarter. So if you look at their schedule, where are you going to put the check marks?
Like, look around the league outside of Tua and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. All offenses, even with the biggest name QBs, are underperforming. So by that measure, right, Russell Wilson is doing poorly, but is he doing that much worse than anybody else's? They're 2-1. And the one that everybody is in on, which is the Jags, I don't know if this counts as a hot take 3 weeks in and them sitting 2-1. I don't think they're getting past 8 wins. As much as I like them, I think it's awesome, the turnaround and everything. I still go through the schedule, and even though I can boost my season win total for them, I still think they have a losing record.
If you
go through the record and find, like, you know, the wins out there that get them to double digits and playoffs and all.
Well, I could say the same for the Denver Broncos, who have been piss poor offensively, go through the schedule. But I will say this. One of the things believe me, I was wrong on everything. And I feel like I studied for a final exam for 3 months and got nothing right about this NFL season. I got like a zero on the test. But you had said, Sheck, that the AFC South winner is going to have the best record or something, right? Didn't you have to say something like that?
Well,
I don't think that's the case. Even though they swept the AFC West, which was weird. I wonder what kind of odds you could have gotten on that any week. But because they play such tough teams, I think the winner of the division could have 8 wins. They might be able to get to 8, the Jaguars. That's my answer. They're 2-1 to win a division. They're doing it on defense. A lot of these teams are. They've allowed 10 points a game. The last two games, they've been gangbusters. I think they're third in the league against the run. And, you know, you want to say Trevor Lawrence, that's great too. They're moving the ball. But at 2-1 in that weird, weird, weirdo division, that's the one I would say. But check the Broncos, come on.
Listen, you know, these are all remain, with the exception of the Dolphins, who now have the a significant head-to-head win against the presumed front runner of that division. Plus, they beat the Patriots, so that's not a small that they're 2-0 in the division is not a small a small matter there. The Colts, you know, these wins, it's like, that really, the Chiefs should have won that game, or not for the Chris Jones talking to Matt Ryan thing on the field. You know, when you look back in late December, that counts as a win and maybe turns their season around, and I do bet you that's what it leads to. Those little things, you're like, they shouldn't even got that game, but it still counts as a win. But I'd love to know. Would love to know, what the hell did Chris Jones say specifically? What did he say with the referee standing there that was so offensive that he had to throw the yellow flag?
What could he say?
Matt Ryan is a 40-year-old man. How bad could the words have been that it would hurt number two's feelings?
It couldn't have been worse than anything Spaghetti was saying in our text chain. That's for sure. I mean, what? Speaking of Spaghetti, I do put a pin in this. I think Russ is cooking as much as that tuna on his head, Spaghetti's head right now. I don't know. Martin, Martin, you have come up with something. Let's go to the coaching, because there's really, you know, when we're dealing with the coaching, you talk about the offense. I think the coaching has been worse than anything, right?
Yes.
Worse than any of the quarterbacks. So you're going to do this. We're calling this Martin's Meathead of the Week for week 3. And what are you going to do? How does this work?
So I have three different.
Spaghetti's a meathead.
Spaghetti is a fish head. I have three different coaching scenarios, coaching decisions that have been made. I want you and Dave to try to ascertain which one was the most meatiest of heads.
Okay.
All right. So you start Thursday night. The Browns lead 23-14. It's 4th and 5. You trot the field goal team out. They have 12 men on the field. If it's Pittsburgh, they have 12 men on the field. 5-yard penalty somehow is not a first down after a 4th and 5, right? So it's 4th and inches. You bring them back out, the field goal team, with 1 minute 48 left. You kick the field goal, you make it. So now it's 23-17. You're still down a touchdown. What good did that do? You're on your own 17-yard line when you kick the field goal. You kick the ball away, and then you end up getting it back in just enough time to go ahead and blow everybody's teaser leg with the pitchy, pitchy woo-woo. right? Disgusting. So, like, why not go for it on that fourth down? Because you're going to lose the game anyway. And if you get it, you probably may cover that 4.5 that I had.
Well, in my understanding, they're two scores down, though, right?
Yeah, they needed the ball twice, right? They needed the ball twice. But if you need a touchdown, it's easier to kick a 50-yard field goal than it is to score a touchdown from 50 yards out. You should try to get the field goal second. The Lions, up 3, 4th and 4 from the Vikings 36. They've gone for it on 4th down at this point 6 times in the game for 4 conversions because they were 3 for 16 on 3rd down, but that's neither here nor there. The kickers already missed 1 field goal. So Dan Campbell elects with a 3-point lead, and the Vikings have no timeouts to kick a field goal to go up 6 points, which is useless, right? Because you're going to kick the extra point anyway. 4 yards wins you the game. He misses the 50-yard field goal. KJ Osborne walks into the end zone. 2 plays later, Vikings win, Lions cover. My pup, done.
All right. That's a good one.
Then the Kansas City Chiefs. This one, admittedly, I feel for Andy Reid in this scenario because his all-star kicker, all-pro kicker, he's out of there. He got hurt, sprained his ankle 2 weeks ago. However, going for fourth quarter, fourth down, he had 2 separate opportunities to go for with Patrick Mahomes. Instead, he decides to throw the ball with Tommy Townsend on a 4th and 11 field goal. And then on 4th and 7, he ends later on in the game with 8 minutes left, still with the 3-point lead. He elects to kick a field goal with Amendola, who had been hooking them all left and right in pregames, at halftime, and then he misses that 34-yarder. You take the ball out of the best quarterback in football, depending on who you ask, on 4th down in the game that you end up losing.
That's Mark Connell.
That's tough.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Shaq, you take it first. I think one of those, I think, could go 50-50. I'm strong on another one, and then go ahead. You do it first.
From that trio, and it probably is the most meat-headed, and it's optimal that it would be Dan Campbell winning the inaugural Meathead of the Week award there. Yes, all the rah-rah stuff is fine, and he's got the guys playing well and everything, but that was a tactical misfire there that cost him the game and being 2-1 and all of that. I do have to say very quickly, you must be more aggressive, as Mike McCarthy, of all people, was on 4th and 4 at the Giants 41 in the fourth quarter of a tight game. With Cooper, he goes for it. This leads to the game-winning touchdown. Pay attention, Mike Tomlin. When you don't have your best player out there, you must become more aggressive on the other side of the ball. One, also this goes for Ron Rivera. What are we doing, man? You're gonna scuttle the season because you signed Carson Wentz because management brought him in? Get Sam Howell in there already, for goodness sakes. That's a big meat-headed play to not even have the kid dressed in the game against the Eagles. If they throw him in there, this is time. Turn the page quickly, and in a mediocre NFC, you have a chance to make a push. I know it's funny, but they have a chance to, you know, make a little run and
put in Sam Howell in there. Cowboys are going to sack him 35 times. That'll be great. Put him whoever you want. It's going to be ugly. I bet
better
Wentz
than Carson Wentz, obviously, right?
I know. So you go Lions out of those three. Yeah, I'm with Shaq there, Martin. And one thing I'll add to that, they went for 4th and 1. They didn't make it. That field goal kicker, that was a long field goal. That was terrible. Here's what got me crazy watching that game, Martin. They were up by 10 for most of the fourth quarter or going in the fourth quarter. How are you up 10 and you have no timeouts with 2 minutes left?
So
that's what the Lions – that was a Dan Campbell. That was crazy. Like, you never
there's
see that.
A saying around Detroit, and it was there before I got there, since I've left, and will remain for a very long time. That was an SOL loss. Same old Lions. Mm-hmm. How did they do that? The answer, it's the Lions.
I'm telling you, it's
the Lions. That's the only answer that's logical. They dominated the entire game until the last 2 minutes. I just didn't know
they didn't have timeouts. You're winning the game. Where are you calling these timeouts? But, okay, that's the line. I will say, though, out of the worst, though, I thought, and it was inconsequential to the game, but Coach Staley, who still is up there for Coach of the Year odds, leaving Herbert in there, who'd gotten beaten the snot out of him, with a minute left in a 28-point game. What are you doing? Between the doctor and the coach, everybody wants this guy. Everybody wants to ruin Justin Herbert. I didn't understand that at all. So, all right, I think
that's a great call. And yeah, you know, you have to put somebody on the field. So Jalen Guyton, I guess, is going to be out there. But with a minute left, the deep ball that, as you say, is inconsequential, costs him the rest of his season.
And is it Guyton? Isn't it Chase Daniel? Chase Daniel is is it Chase Daniel, no, the backup?
Guyton is a receiver. You're right.
Chase Daniel is his knee on a
deep
ball.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, right.
By the way, another one. I thought Marty was going to say there's an old saying in Detroit, which is let's steal the pizza from Sicily and claim it as our own.
Oh, that's a Detroit thing? That's SOL. You know, that's Sicilian,
Dave,
out of luck.
It was a bad take 4 years ago, and it's only just grown worse.
Yeah.
You can't watch a football game without saying
Detroit Style Pizza is Sicilian pizza. Well, I mean, how can you just claim
you can't watch Star Cities? A football game without Craig Robinson trying to shove a Detroit-style pizza down your throat. It's between every break. Between that and John Hamm, I don't know how you're getting through football this year.
Martin,
because John Hamm is also on almost every commercial break too.
I think that was a successful debut of Martin's Meathead of the Week, and then you had to throw marinara sauce all over it at the end. All right, we'll be back, Martin. There'll be no shortage of coaching screw ups, so we'll be back with that next week. I do want to mention our arcade winners, the Pick'em contest. Samuel Johnson, 13 right, 13, pretty good. That's Martin Weiss-esque. $203 goes to Samuel, $200 for me. Sheck, you owe $3. You have to get this guy. We're going to give you his email. Unless this is another empty promise. You promised us baked goods. You promised Martin $3. You got to get this guy $3. So
don't hold your breath, Sam.
Sam Johnson gets it. And the prop quiz winner was Matt Maraconda with 7 right. And staff-wise, we mentioned Martin Weiss, 11-3-1, 31-13. And one overall. Megan Gailey also.
Well, wait a second. Gailey also put up that impressive number?
11-3-1. Good job. Sheck, we were amongst the big losers. Me, you, Megan Conley, brother Bry, Eddie, and Will were 6-8-1. Now, Martin, you got to give it to Will. Will was going nuts about the Lions pulling off the upset, and he actually convinced me to take that. And then on the graphic, he takes the Vikings. And he was one of the last to do the graphic, too. So.
I don't know. Sheckian status right there. That's something that I remember from Dave from last season. What do you mean? I the graphic. So, I mean, you got to go with what the graphic says. The graphic is law. Per spaghetti and meatball. The graphic is law.
But I'm a man. Anyone who's ever known me will attest I'm a man of the highest honor and justice and all of the rest of it. I think that's how people would describe
me. We'll see if Sam Johnson gets his $3 before you say that.
Yeah. Either way, I insist that my record be not 6 wins. It's in fact only 5 because I changed my pick at the last minute from the Cowboys to the Giants. So in fact, I shouldn't have 6 wins. I should be at the bottom of the week 3 rankings.
That's true.
For, standings because
what happened? That was just a wrong input there. Where did you change it? On the
No,
graphic?
I changed it. I woke up on Monday morning and I realized, you know what? It's Cooper Rush, the Giants. Oh, it's going to be a great atmosphere there. They're
we can't
win
do this, Sheck. We got to put that graphic out. Okay, well,
there you go. I'm only a man. You know,
I know.
Flesh and blood. I'm trying to do the right thing. If the man won't let me do the right thing, so be it. But
all right,
let the record show. I tried.
The record shows. You spoke about it for 20 minutes with Spaghetti about how the Giants were going to win. Spaghetti, how are you holding up there with the tuna on your head?
It's fine. Once again, totally forgot that I was wearing it because I was doing work during.
I'm
going
to keep reminding you.
But I appreciate that. Yeah,
it's not dripping. I think next time we have to go with a more oily. I know the tuna was the Parcells thing, but what do we do, Sheck? We got to go with a more oily fish, brand of fish.
I just think that, I guess so. But we'll learn from our mistakes here and be better for it. But I do think that the real loser out of this whole thing is Jada, Spaghetti's girlfriend. Because she, like Spaghetti, when you're living in the stench that's coming off of his head, you get used to it. When she comes back from wherever she is and that it's going to be like a slap in the face, you know?
Yeah.
A piece of tuna.
What if she leaves you from this, Spaghetti?
Oh,
you don't think she'll leave you?
The minute this is over, I'm going to go and just rinse my hair out. So,
I heard you talking about it with Piacenti. You're one of those weirdos that showers like 4 times a day, right? The two of you are, right?
Whatever wired it is.
Martin, you too?
I take a shower almost every time I come in the house.
Really? I do know some people do that. Because of the outdoors? You don't trust the outdoors?
No, I just feel gross when I come back in.
Well, that's because you're biking everywhere. You like biking to Hollywood.
That is the ever since then, it's been definitely. But even when I was driving, when I was driving more frequently, I would definitely walk back in and hit the showers before the post-game interview. But no, I take a shower. I shower maybe 3 to 4 times a day. In the summer, maybe even more than that.
I'm good for in the morning when I wake up, and that's it. I don't care what goes on the rest of the day. But
How many times do you brush your teeth for a day?
Two. You go more than that?
I know somebody who brushes their teeth at least 12 times before breakfast. His name is Shannon Sharp.
Really? I've been thinking about how he's got nice teeth.
That is the number one. I've been with him in the mornings as he's getting ready. He'll brush his teeth between five and six thirty. He'll brush his teeth 3 times.
Does he only do like 3 or 4 teeth at a time?
No. It's a whole.
How can you brush your teeth 12 times in the morning?
Wow. I'm telling you, it's a whole deal. And like, because that's kind of like I'll hop in and out of the shower. Like, I'm not sitting there taking a 20 minute shower every time I shower. No, he is not missing a single one of these, one of those chiclets up there. He's getting busy.
Wow. He does have nice teeth, but that I don't even think that allows enough time for the germs to build up if you're brushing your teeth that many times in the morning.
My dad used to wash his car like every day. It feels the same. Like, it's kind of overkill. Like, you know, it's
right.
Like, kind of overkill. It's fine for tomorrow, but there you go.
Right.
Is that bad for you at some point? We should talk to not a nutritionist, but, you know, a skincare expert or whatever. I bet you're doing yourself harm by washing it yourself that much. All those soaps and potions every time. That can't be great.
All right, listen. Wow, we unpacked a lot there. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to go over this Pro Bowl thing with the Mannings. Our friends, our new best friends, the Mannings, are running the skills competition. We're going to discuss that, and we have ideas for them when we return. All right, we're back. Eddie Spaghetti has a tuna on his head. Foolishly picked the Giants over the Cowboys. By the way, I was in the market. I'm in Brooklyn here for the shows. Jimmy Kimmel Live all week. Thanks to Joe Buck for shouting out my name last night. Now everybody
that was cool.
I have a gambling problem and I root for the Cowboys. But yeah, that was pretty cool. But I was in a market, Spaghetti, yesterday afternoon. And I'm like, I saw a tuna, much like the one that's sitting on your head. And I'm like, maybe I just buy this so I don't have to go out in the morning. I'm like, no, you know what? The hell with that. Cooper Rush is going to shine, and we're going to win the game. I didn't believe it when I said it then, but it happened. But anyway, as Martin pointed out, the Lions did not get a W, but they once again covered. Jamal Williams was flagged for too many hip thrusts in celebration. He gets a penalty for this. How many, Martin? How many hip thrusts are acceptable? I say between 40 and 45. I don't care if he's there all day.
You know, I really think it had more to do with the vigorousness of said thrust. It was the energy behind the thrust. If it had just been a simple, like a little hip check after like Victor Cruz salsa Victor type Cruz. Dance move, right? Like maybe if he had done like a dance in the end zone and then went to the hip thrust, like a little added like, ha-ha, at the end. But really, this was just kind of just straight, you know, NC-17. I'm coming for you. Like cover your kids. Dave, I hope baby Oprah and Jean-Claude Van Damischak weren't watching because, he was really, I'm just joking. Nah. I'd say how many hip thrusts acceptable?
Yeah.
I think five is too many.
Five's too many?
A good 3 gets the job done.
Do you have to scout the referees much like you do your opponent, like a cornerback or a safety, or you would like a wide receiver if you're a defensive player? Do you have to scout the referees like, okay, this guy's a born-again Christian. He's not going to be as much. Okay, this guy's 75 years old. He was once assaulted by a hip thrust. I wonder how much research you have to do before going into this to say, well, maybe they don't care if they're penalized.
Like a Supreme Court confirmation or something. Like, we have to dig into his past. Like, is he puritanical?
Right. You got to vet these guys.
Are there any roots back to that? I think I go the opposite way from Marty. I hope all the kids out there were watching so that they listen. Not the little kids, but, you know, the ones that are, know, pubescent and moving towards adulthood. You know, proper lovemaking technique has served me well. It's produced nothing less than four children, and I think we can all agree I'm anything but macho. And yet, clutch as it gets, like, you know, as a, you know, I for me, I don't know, four or five, but like my lovemaking technique is like one. Two, like that. And, you know, I've gotten as high as six.
Wow.
In doing now, that. And like I say, the results speak for themselves.
Spaghetti has poor a children. Tuna on his head and is not the most ridiculous person in this call, the Zoom call right now.
I agree.
Unbelievable.
Marty's embarrassed.
I like
himself.
That.
I know. But can't
throw
admit
a flag
that
on
Sicilian
check
pizza
there.
Is what Detroit pizza
all right.
Is.
But the point is, now the Manning brothers, we know them so well now. We're dear, dear pals with Eli and Peyton. And they are now running the skills competition, which is now replacing the Pro Bowl. An actual flag football game, I think, is replacing the Pro Bowl. I think we're okay with this, right? No, Shaq? You don't want
to flag? I mean, I'm happy for the Pro Bowl to go away. That was garbage. But
right, that's the part of it. Yeah. Yeah, no one misses that.
You and me have talked, Sal, for many moons because we're old enough to remember the ABC Superstars competition. So those skills competitions are fun. People
right.
A little younger, I bet Marty remembers the QB skills competition. That's fun. How far can the guy throw the ball? It actually is funny because it exposes, like, that guy's a pro football QB and he can only throw it 52 yards in the air. That's bad. That's only like 10 yards more than Damashek. You should be ashamed of yourself. But yeah,
but let's make it really fun. Whatever. We theoretically have the Manning brothers' ear, and we could maybe make suggestions for the skills competition, not the flag football game, whatever. That is what it is. But the skills competition, I'm going to start us off. We're talking about the Lions and the penalty and the touchdown dance. I think a touchdown dance should be one of the skills evaluated, but not necessarily the dance. I want to see what a player could do mid-dance when he or she realizes that there's a flag on the play and it's coming back. How do you look cool, Martin, mid-dance? What do you do? Do you have a second dance where you like kind of moonwalk back to the huddle? How do you look cool? That's the field awareness I want to see. I think the Manning brothers would be good in evaluating that.
Well, I don't know how much. I mean, field awareness for the Manning brothers, A1. Their ability to do, like, whatever smooth move that you would imagine on the way back to the huddle, I would wonder about that. Okay. You know how Zay Jones does it all the time, but there's this move. He'll fall down and somehow will rise up without using his hands. I'm going to find it and clip it and send it to you guys. But if like that type of move, something where it feels like it's like, you know, you look at it, it's like, how did he just do that? Because it's like, obviously, you know, your offensive line.
Yeah, I guess if you backflip all the way right back to the huddle, that's a 10, right? You're not going to be that. But anyway, all right, what are some other skills you guys think should be evaluated?
Survivor, send them out to an island for the long weekend of the Pro Bowl or whatever replaces it, and just play by those rules. Probst shows up, maybe Peyton and Eli replace Probst, and you know, they do a series of competitions, and then they vote each other out. I think it would be a fascinating psychological study of the most popular players that we watch every week.
You know, NFL players that have competed in Survivor. Eddie George was on Survivor 1 year. Jimmy Johnson was on Survivor, and it drove me nuts. Maybe it was the way they edited it, but it took till day three before anyone recognized either of them. I mean, especially Jimmy Johnson. Give me a break. Like, really? You just think this is an average old man? Nobody ever tuned into Fox at 12 p.m. on a Sunday and saw Jimmy Johnson. But all right, Martin, do you have another one?
What I want, honestly, because Eddie Spaghetti has this tuna on his head. Mm-hmm. What I really, truly want.
Why is that, by the way? Especially. Did he ask for this? Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Okay. Yeah.
Especially considering as, you know, we see these videos on Twitter now that come from experts. They got the big old Omaha on the back. I see Peyton and Eli calling Monday Night Football. They watched that. They saw what happened. I just need Eli Manning to go and like Eddie's response to his first tweet. It says, "Eli, I love you." That's all I want. And now
you
Eddie's
said that,
not,
Eddie?
Eli's his boss, sort of, in a circle run away. I just want, look at what Eddie is doing right now as a fan of the New York Football Giants, a team that has given him very little satisfaction in his life. Okay, I get that you guys see. I mean, but just, you know, you've had your moments, but you know, the last 5 years have been tough. The Daniel Jones has been tough. Like you said, you haven't won a game outside of 1 o'clock Eastern, and God knows how long. Eli Manning, give my boy Spaghetti a win. That's what I want.
A wink? Okay, so that's the skill that he's going to evaluate? I think.
All right, so maybe the skill should be reply to people on Twitter, because look, I tweeted out a picture of Dak Prescott yesterday, and my replies are insanity, so I'm not doing any of that. But I want Eli Manning to acknowledge Eddie's tweet.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know, Eddie, maybe some mercury is seeping into your brain or something, but you're in love with Eli? You want to admit this now?
I do love Eli, and I'm very fortunate to have him as a, you know, one of the greatest, probably the greatest quarterback in Giants history, and won us two Super Bowls. Yeah, that was a great time in my life.
This is before you used to wear tuna on your head full time, but yeah, I do remember that too. All right,
this is before the Twitter changed name. It was Edward L. Murphy, and Eli tweeted like, "How do I figure this thing out?" And he was like, "Bro, I love you."
Yeah.
If it's not Survivor, I think the other reality show that would be great is The Bachelor. Because I am endlessly captivated by, you just saw what's his name from Maroon 5. Why I can't think of the guy's name.
Super Adam Levine. Guy.
What? Adam Levine. Yeah. You just saw something I've long said, that these guys, when they're just, when you're a Hollywood phony like John Hamm or one of these guys, your yap can only get you in trouble. Just be there and look pretty, and the ladies will flock. Same is true for pro football players. Let's put them, because I find myself, as someone who has low self-esteem, boosted when I watch The Bachelor. I'm like, I'm always so down on what I have to say, but then I see what these schnooks have to say, and I ain't great, but I have better game than they have. I think we would all feel better if we could see how little game these pro football players have. I don't think they have any. I think they just walk in the door and it's like, yeah, I'm a pro football player worth millions of dollars. Let's do that. Give out the rose. Okay. Who could be the lady? I don't know. Maybe.
But you understand this is replacing the Pro Bowl, which was 3 hours. Yeah. And you're pitching huge reality seasons here. Like this is.
Yes.
They're going to pass. Okay. Oh, you do know. All right.
I don't know this to be 100%, but I feel like Will Blackman would really push back on that whole football players have no game scenario.
They think they do. That's what's funny about it. They all think they do. They're like, wow.
Jesse Palmer.
Results. Like, yeah, you're a millionaire and you're in perfect shape. Right. Of course you do well with women. Of course. Doesn't mean you're good at talking to them.
Jesse Palmer was a bachelor, wasn't he?
Perfect.
Florida quarterback. Yeah. The Giants.
Oh, that was a can of worms way back.
Do you love him? He was a Giant quarterback. Right.
Do you forget what happened with Jesse Palmer?
Well, they did it already is my point. Go ahead. What happened?
Well, he was in charge, though. But anyway, yes. No, I once asked him after his season how he fared and with the ladies. And he didn't like that. And I got in trouble.
Really?
I got a phone call for asking Jesse Palmer about how he did. I'm like, I didn't go on the show. He did.
Right.
Look at Spaghetti with the tuna.
Spaghetti, by the way, is that tuna growing a little? I feel like it's like a souffle. It's getting fatter, and it's going to end up through the roof.
I'm not sure if this is tuna anymore. I think this is like a new organism that is moving around. Again, people do not buy tuna from Ralph's grocery store. It'll kill you.
Ralph's is getting a bad beat.
Yeah, sorry, Ralph.
What if you get in the shower and, like, you know, after you wash all that off, your hair is just beautiful. It's just silky, like I mean, I'm talking like John Hamm level of just gorgeous madness hair. Like, what would you do this again?
I mean, fish oil is good for you.
Are you bringing the tuna in the shower with you?
When I took it off before, like, my hair, some of it was like kind of like hard and it was like kind of stuck together. But I'm gonna re-shampoo it after EP is done.
It's
here.
Got some big plans.
It's not that gross to me. I grew up fishing quite a bit, so I'm used to fish.
I do feel bad. I feel bad. Jada's gonna get the worst of this if she eats raw, then 4 hour raw fish off your head. But
I grew up fishing, so fishing on the head for an hour. It's standard.
I haven't gotten around to get that engagement ring for you just yet, sweetheart. But can you eat this fish off my head? I think I'm sorry, Spaghetti. Again, you're being a good sport. All right, let me throw a couple more in there. Hey, put we're talking about all these coaches, Martin. Put them to the test. Clock management. We talked about them playing Sega. Oh, not Sega. What's the new one? Madden. It's very new. Madden. No, oh, yeah. Give them Madden. Give them a joystick. Give them Madden. You're at the three with 40 seconds left. The time is rolling. Do you clock it? Like, just those stupid things like that. I want to see the coaches, see if, you know, and Peyton and Eli evaluate those skills. The cheerleader tosses. We like everything for distance. Who could throw the longest pass? Who can run the fastest? Cheerleaders, how high in the air can they get? Shaq, is this dangerous? You're damn right it's dangerous. But I want to
see
how high.
It would be dangerous. Not. I mean, what's dangerous for your spirit when you get crushed in it, but how about a Connect Four tournament? That
wow.
Would be, that's the, that, you know.
That's unbelievable.
That's the oldest of all competitions.
Yeah.
Men.
Yeah.
Nude wrestling.
The ceiling. It would go through the. Yeah. Nude wrestling's good. Babyface, you have anything here to add?
It would be great in honor of Tom Brady, the first annual Tom Brady tablet toss. Mm. You know, we've seen them throw a football, but let's really get these tablets out there. Longest wins toss of the tablet.
Right. I like that a lot. Yeah, or maybe like Ken Dorsey did, like who could destroy a booth in less time, right? You have like seven objects to get rid of. By the way, quick Jesse Palmer story. I like yours, Shaq. Our friend Brad, crazy friend Brad, did a couple stints in jail. And somebody, his cellmate, was bragging about Jesse Palmer and how he was the greatest quarterback he had ever seen at Florida State. And Brad made the very big mistake of correcting him and saying, no, he attended the University of Florida. And the guy hauled off and beat the crap out of him.
Is that true?
That is true.
He took a licking for it.
He did, yeah, for correcting him from Florida to Florida State.
As if I didn't already know I would do terribly in the pokey. And I wouldn't be able to help myself. Like, in fact, he was a Gator. He wasn't a Seminole.
It seems innocent enough. Speaking of pokey, Spaghetti, how's the top of your head? We'll check in with you again. No, all right. Very good. He's doing all right. All right. Let's go to baseball now. Play of the day. We're getting down to the edge. By the way, I put my money where my big fat mouth is with this Aaron Judge thing. On Caesars, you could bet that he will not get to 62 home runs. And I did that at plus 450. He didn't go yard yesterday, so now it's down to 4-1. You can get also on Caesars that he wins the Triple Crown is minus 130. These fans out here, Shaq and Martin, they are – every single luxury box yesterday had the Yankee game on. And I think a lot of them were watching it more than the Cowboys.
What a missed opportunity for esprit de corps as a New York sports fan. Legitimately, an hour before the game, Aaron Judge is at the plate up in Toronto – and they're on ESPN in the pregame. They're showing what's going on in the field. They just have the big Giants logo on the Jumbotron. They don't bring in the Yankees game. How cool would the shot have been of Eli while he's warming up, looking up to see Judge or Eli, Daniel Jones, looking up to see, Aaron Judge taking his cracks. And if he hits the home run, that would be an iconic New York City moment.
Do you think I think he'll have to get 60. So 61 ties it. This poor Maris family.
Oh, maybe that's right. Maybe that's right.
Maybe if they break it. But I have 4-1 that it doesn't happen. I think there's 9 games left. And I feel like he's going to get 18 walks in 36 plate appearances, right? Maybe even more. Nobody wants to give up this record to him. But anyway, our play of the day. Let's do it. Martin, hit us up. Baseball. Getting down to the nitty-gritty here.
I am going to go ahead and bet against that Yankees team. I'm betting on the Toronto Blue Jays on the money line. The Yankees are 0-5 in their last 5 games with a total set of 11 or more. And the Blue Jays are, well, I had it right here. Where'd it go? Oh, they're 1-6 in their last 7 against a right-handed starter. And I like the Blue Jays. I've made a lot of money in them towards the end of the summer. And that's just who I'm going with. It's football season, baby.
Wait, the Blue Jays are 1-6 against righties, and you're taking the Blue Jays?
No, the Blue Jays are 6-1. They're 6-1 in their last 7 against a right-handed starter. That's my bad. 6-1.
You are 13-31-1 on the season in NFL. We're
and Dave owes me $3,000. Is that how that works?
Right. That's exactly how it worked. All right. Shaq, I know you're done with baseball since, I don't know, the Pirates, Since football.
Since
all right,
August,
but before that.
Pretty much.
Since last football.
Now listen.
Right.
Now listen to me. All the cynicism, everybody knows better than their local offensive coordinator, and I don't know about this, and I complain about that. Let's get excited. This is a great moment in sports that Aaron Judge is chasing this iconic record. I hate the Yankees, but it's cool that three Yankees are the only ones in American League history to do this. Why people aren't more excited about this is baffling to me. He gets
it's a
one,
Yankee
plus
record.
Plus 195. It's a great record. It was warped by Barry Bonds, Sosa, and McGuire, but it still is an iconic thing in not just baseball, but in sports in America. What are we talking about?
Yankee,
this people aren't over the moon.
I talked to our friend, you know him, John Blundell. I said, this is a Yankee home run record. Why are we celebrating? He's a baseball guy, right? He's like, No. We got to celebrate everything we can with baseball. Hey, but I'm like, why isn't Pete Alonso? He broke the Mets RBI record. That should be bigger. That should be bigger news nationally. Into the Giants game when Pete Alonso's up. To add to the RBI record that he's up.
You're getting the World Series. I already told you that. So you get that, and the Yankees get a new home run king.
Let's just beat the Braves 2 out of 3 at the end of the week. I'm going to be so nervous. All right, Diamondbacks plus 194. They play the Astros. Some of these teams, you look at the American League. Martin, I think the Blue Jays have to win a little bit more to clinch that first wild card. Would it be the second wild card? First wild card? I don't know. I don't even know how it works second anymore. But so they'd get right. So they'd get some home games if they fight off Seattle and however it works. I'll say this. Some of these teams, like the Astros, they're going to win. They're going to be the one seed. I mean, they haven't clinched it yet, but they're 7 games up with 9 left. If I can get 2-1 on an underdog, I don't mind Zach Davies so much. D-backs middle of the pack, 14th in runs scored. They'll show up. I know McCullers has been great on the hill for the Astros, but D-backs have won 50. They've won 50 out of 119 contests. They've been named as an underdog this year. That's 42%. Give me the Diamondbacks plus 194. I think there's some big plus money to be made. Guys like Dusty Baker pulling back a little on the lineup here and there, giving these guys a rest. So that's my pick. We'll put a graphic
you
up
bet
there.
Against your own team, but you won't bet on Aaron Judge hitting a home run at plus 195 so that you feel
it.
A little reflected glory?
No, I have plus 450 for him not get to 62. Who had the?
Okay,
what did you
maybe
say,
not
Shaq?
You. The world at large. I hate the Yankees at least as much as most people do, probably not as much as Metropolitans fans
different.
And Red Sox fans. I get it, but still, this is what would be cool. Don't you want to be like if you're apathetic about it, you won't be if he hits one tonight, and you're getting paid out as a result of it.
How much are you? What did everyone predict for Judge? I can't remember. Shaq, did you say 62?
I had 62.
Spaghetti, you went higher.
I think I was at 64.
No, Michael, Meatballs had the most at 64. You might have been 63. Eddie.
I think Spaghetti was 63. Yeah, we've blown past Sal. I thought for a minute there you were.
What was I? 55?
With your cynicism. You had like 56 or something like that. Yeah.
Martin, what'd you say? 59?
I'm 59.
Yeah. All right. I'm still sticking with 55. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I like it. We got a lot of good shows for you this week. Lemon Pepper Parlay. Martin, ask Will why he's changing his upset pick that he convinced the world to take the Lions and then he took the Vikings. But.
I'm not happy about it. I'm not. When I saw that on the graphic, I was happy, A, because it was just one more that I got right and everybody else got wrong. But, right. I mean, Will talked me into making that my pup. I could have done a whole bunch of other things. I could have made the Colts my pup. I bet on them on the money line, too.
The Lions should have won. That's another team. Like, we could talk about this, like, oh, nobody's good, nobody's great. Like, all right, we know teams are going to be good by the end of the season. How many do you trust? Maybe we'll talk about this Thursday. How many do you trust to win 3 playoff games? I think the number is like 1 or 2.
I completely agree with that point. The idea of like who's in the chase. Eagles are really good going to the Super Bowl. You think they're going to win 3 games? They better get the number 1 seed and be playing 2 home games, or else I have no confidence that team's going to win 3 games, 2 of which at least would be on the road. I don't buy that.
I'm with you. Shaq, you'll discuss this and so much more on Minus 3. You have Mr. Lister tonight. Boy, I watched football with Jastrzemski on Sunday. He's so high on these Dolphins. I said they're the worst 3-0 team of all time. And that's not me making that up. A lot of experts are saying that. He gets upset. Hit them with these Dolphins. They're not that good. Come on.
What about the Arizona Cardinals in 2021? They would.
I know.
I'll take these Dolphins over those Cardinals.
There were 3-0 Dolphin teams that were worse than this, with Tannehill as quarterback too. But I just
remember that Bob Greasy one from 1972. That team wasn't that great.
Yeah, either. What did they ever do?
I just want to know how you're going to handle your quarterback controversy as it goes forward.
I'm not going that far, but it's not.
Did you see the post game?
Come on.
You see the post game? Dak Prescott, no shirt on, right in the middle of the breakdown. Cooper Rush, still fully dressed. I mean, I don't know. What's going on?
Jerry already started. Why is Jerry Jones starting trouble about this? I mean, like, we're going to watch the Cowboys. You don't have to get us going.
What the hell? Really? What is going on in his head right now that he wants to be disruptive on that level? The other disruptive thing that I floated before, the 1972 Dolphins. Do they crack the champagne if the Dolphins are the last undefeated team to lose in 2022?
Oh, interesting. That's excellent. Right. Good call.
Sal, we know Dave wasn't paying attention to the beginning of the show. I told you earlier today, the Bengals are going to cover the 3.5. They'll win. Miami will no longer be undefeated. There's no Mercury Morris. Go ahead. Put that thing on ice.
Well, Sheck, you have a put that tuna on ice. I'm even getting sick of watching it right now, spaghetti. But no, Sheck, this might cloud your judgment now. We'll talk about this Thursday. They're wearing the all whites, the Bengals. Did you see that?
Yeah, I hate to be a Scrooge about it. It's cool that the Bengals are doing it, the white tiger look and all that. Mm-hmm. But you don't do that when the visitor is going to be head to toe white. It's just going to be white, white, white.
Oh, is it really? I didn't think about that.
I mean, they'll wear the aqua jerseys to offset the all whites on the back, but still, it's going to be too much white out there. I'm upset about it. They blew it.
I had this my kids' pony football league. They have the reversible jerseys. So if one team, like, you don't know until you get there, if one team's wearing black, the other team will go inside out and go white on the jersey. For some reason, everybody went white the other day. And I was like, hey, I almost walked on the field. I'm like, can somebody, my eyes are bad. Can somebody change? Like, I was the idiot there. Like, no, why would we change?
Sal has to do it. It really must have been an eye.
I can't see. And I don't know how the kids know who's on their team when they're throwing to it. Whatever. Okay. So that's that. Spaghetti, waiver wire today. You're doing that today? No fish on the head, though, today, huh?
Why not?
Probably not. It'll like evaporate by then. This is very strange. But waiver wired is on at 12:30 today, Pacific time. We're going to get into the state of quarterbacks and running backs in fantasy football because offenses are struggling so far this NFL season.
All right. And you take spaghetti as seriously as you can, a man who wore a tuna on his head for almost 3 hours today. Congratulations. Thank you, spaghetti. Thank you for coming through. You know, he didn't have to do both podcasts like this, but you have any advice for him, Val?
I think he should wear it for show number 3. Hat trick. Something Jacob Trouba's never heard of in his life. Wear the tune on your head tonight. Today. Keep the roll going there. That's a good punishment.
Something to think about. Good luck to poor
Jada. Saquon's having a nice year in fantasy, though. That we did forecast, right?
My goodness.
We all saw that one coming.
Yep. Pretty good so far. There you go. For spaghetti, for meatballs, for babyface Joel Solomon, for Martin and Sheck. I want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.